Ekatra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge, simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome, everyone. You know that feeling, right? You sit down to write something, maybe just an email, maybe something bigger, and bam, that wave of self-doubt just hits you.
Oh, absolutely. That little voice whispering, "This isn't good enough." Or maybe even shouting, "Don't bother starting."
Exactly. Well, today we're doing a deep dive into a potential antidote for that very feeling. It's Natalie Goldberg's really seminal book, Writing Down the Bones, Freeing the Writer Within.
Mm-hmm. And this isn't your typical writing guide focusing on, say, grammar or plot structure. Mm-hmm. Our mission here is to unpack the, well, pretty profound connection Goldberg makes between Zen Buddhist practice and the act of creative writing. It seems unlikely at first glance, maybe.
It does, but that's precisely why it feels so relevant today. I mean, whether you identify as a writer or not, this struggle with creative paralysis with that internal editor,
it's
universal, isn't it?
Completely. And Goldberg offers a really practical way through it. She basically argues that the biggest hurdle isn't a lack of skill or talent.
It's fear, self-judgment.
Exactly, fear and self-judgment. The book suggests writing isn't just about producing something, it's actually a path to self-discovery.
A way to meet yourself on the page, maybe.
That's a great way to put it. It gives you tools to kind of bypass that controlling intellectual part of the brain and access something more authentic, more awake.
Okay, so tell us about Natalie Goldberg. Who is this person bridging these seemingly different worlds, meditation, and, well, the messy act of writing?
Well, Natalie Goldberg is an American author, poet, teacher, also a painter. But her real authority here, I think, comes from her deep immersion in Zen. The sources emphasize she spent years studying seriously with Dainin Katagiri Roshi, a really influential Zen master.
So she wasn't just borrowing a few concepts, she was living the practice.
Right, she was deeply involved. And that lived experience, that synthesis, is what makes her perspective so unique. She doesn't come at writing from a purely academic or, you know, technical angle.
It's more holistic, integrated with life itself, like an exercise in being present.
Precisely. Think of it as bringing the discipline you might find in meditation, that focus, that non-judgment, directly to the writing process. And she's taught thousands of students in workshops.
So she's seen it all. Basically, every kind of writer's block imaginable.
You bet. So her authority comes from that lived practice and that hands-on teaching. She's this interesting mix of being really compassionate towards the struggle, but also quite demanding about just doing the work.
Okay, so let's get into the book itself. What's the core argument of Writing Down the Bones?
The central idea, and it feels pretty radical even now, is that writing, especially that first messy attempt, isn't just practice. It's a form of, let's say, spiritual inquiry.
Like meditation with a pen.
Kind of, yeah. It's a way to connect with your core being, to access what she calls the raw energy of your first thoughts.
That really shifts the goalposts for what good writing even means, doesn't it? It sounds like the book's main aim is to free us from that tyranny of perfectionism.
Absolutely. And the idea that you need some grand lightning bolt of inspiration before you can even start.
Right. Goldberg basically says your life, the ordinary, messy, everyday stuff, the breakfast dishes, the commute, your fears, that is your material. That's all you need.
And the mechanism for accessing that is what she terms writing practice. It's very specific.
Okay.
It involves timed writing sessions, writing continuously without stopping, and crucially, doing it without judgment. It's explicitly designed to bypass that inner critic, that logical censor.
And it's not just for poets or novelists, is it? The audience seems much broader.
Oh, definitely. It's for anyone looking for clarity or using writing for mindfulness, for self-exploration, professionals brainstorming, people journaling. The application is really wide. It boils down to being present with your own mind on the page.
All right, let's dig into this writing practice then. Because the rules sound simple, maybe deceptively so, but you're saying they're crucial for silencing that internal editor.
They are fundamental. Mm-hmm. And maybe we should first name the enemy, as it were. In Zen, there's this concept of the monkey mind, right?
Mm-hmm. That constant internal chatter jumping all over the
place.
That's
exactly, that distracting, often critical voice. Goldberg's practice is essentially designed to outrun that monkey mind.
Okay, so how does rule number one help with that? Which is, keep your hand moving.
Right. So you set a timer, maybe just 10 minutes to start, maybe 20, maybe an hour. And for that entire time, your pen or your fingers on the keyboard must keep moving, no stopping.
And this isn't just about filling the page. There's a reason for the constant motion.
Yes, it's the mechanism. The continuous physical movement is meant to literally outpace your internal censor, the part of you that wants to stop, rethink, judge.
What if you genuinely get stuck? Like, your mind goes blank.
Then you write, I'm stuck, I'm stuck. Or you describe the room, the sounds outside, the color of your notebook, anything. Just don't stop moving the hand.
And tied into that is the rule about not editing as you go.
Crucial. Don't cross out. Don't go back. Don't worry about spelling, punctuation, grammar. None of it matters in this stage.
That sounds like pure non-judgment.
It is. It's lifted straight from meditation practice. You're just observing what arises without trying to fix it immediately. The goal is generation, not perfection. Raw material.
But here's the paradox that strikes me. You're using this strict, disciplined time writing, constant movement, no stopping to achieve a state of lose control. And to trust these first thoughts, how does restriction lead to freedom?
Yes. That's the beautiful paradox. And it's central to Goldberg's whole approach, drawing heavily on Zen. Think of the discipline not as constriction, but as eliminating escape routes.
Okay. How so?
Well, by setting those rules timed, continuous writing, you cut off all the usual ways the mind tries to wiggle out of the discomfort of creating. You can't get up for a coffee. You can't check your phone. You can't pause to endlessly reread that last sentence.
You're just stuck there with the page.
Exactly. You're forced to stay present. And when you can't run away, the superficial critical mind eventually runs out of things to say or it gets bypassed. That's when the deeper, uncensored first thoughts start to surface. That's the authentic stuff.
The stuff with real energy. And she encourages you to lean into that energy, even if it's difficult, right?
Absolutely. Which brings us to another key piece of advice captured in the chapter title, go for the jugular.
Sounds intense.
It is. It's an encouragement to deliberately seek out the subjects that feel charged, maybe scary, maybe even a bit forbidden, things you feel strongly about.
I go there.
Because, Goldberg argues, where there's that kind of energy, that fear or intensity, that's where the power and the truth reside. Don't write polite things. Write what feels urgent, what you almost can't not write.
Okay, so the practice helps us bypass the critic and access this raw energy. But where does the actual content come from? How do we find things to write about using this method?
Well, this leads to one of my favorite metaphors in the book, composting.
Composting, like for gardening.
Exactly like that. Goldberg suggests that all our experiences, the good, the bad, the painful, the joyful, even the utterly mundane and boring, all get tossed into this sort of mental compost heap.
Okay, I think I see where this is going.
Over time, these experiences break down, decompose, and eventually transform into this incredibly rich, fertile soil for creativity.
I love that. It means nothing is wasted, right? Even the difficult stuff, the confusing times.
Yeah.
It all becomes potential material down the line.
Precisely. It's incredibly freeing, I think. It reframes your whole life as usable material. But once you start drawing from that compost heap, the writing itself needs shape. It needs grounding.
Which brings us to craft.
Right. And a core principle for Goldberg here is be specific.
This sounds more like traditional writing advice.
It is, but it's fundamental. She really hammers home that universal feelings or truths are best conveyed through concrete sensory details. Specificity makes writing real.
Can you give an example? Like the difference between saying he was angry versus...
Exactly. Instead of just he was angry, you might write, his jaw clenched so tight a muscle jumped near his temple, and his knuckles were white where his fist gripped the edge of the table.
Okay. The second one, you feel the anger. You see it. It's particular and therefore more universal somehow.
That's it. Details anchor the writing in lived reality, making it resonate much more deeply. It pulls the reader in.
And she also gives practical advice on where to do this writing practice.
Yeah.
I remember something about cafes.
Yes. She's a big advocate for writing in public spaces, famously recommending a cafe.
Why a cafe, though? Wouldn't it be distracting? Why not a quiet library? What's the benefit of that alone together vibe?
It's about managing energy, she suggests. At home, your mind might drift to chores, other tasks, the whole weight of your personal space. In a cafe, there's ambient energy, the hum of life around you, but it's contained. You're focused on your page within that buzz. It can actually help concentration for some people.
It breaks the isolation too, maybe.
Yes, that too. It reminds you you're part of the world even while you're doing this very internal thing. It keeps you present in a specific way.
So when we gather all these different threads, the rules, the composting, the cafe, what are the big overarching themes or messages that emerge from writing down the bones?
Several really powerful ones stand out, and they definitely apply beyond just writing.
Okay, like theme one. Writing is a spiritual practice. You called it the Zen way in the West earlier. It's not just about skill acquisition, is it?
Not at all. It's presented as a genuine path to self-knowledge, a way to practice mindfulness, to be fully present, you know, to be here, to be now, right on the page.
And theme two, trusting first thoughts for authenticity. This feels huge.
It really is. It's about valuing that spontaneous, raw energy of the mind over carefully constructed, intellectualized ideas. That's where your unique voice lives in that initial messy stuff. Trusting it is key.
Then there's that paradox we talked about. Mm-hmm. Theme three, discipline as liberation.
Mm-hmm. The idea that the strict rules, the timing, the continuous movement aren't there to restrict you, but actually to free you by cutting off all the escape routes, the procrastination tactics, the endless self-editing.
It forces you into the present moment with the work.
Exactly. It creates creative honesty in a way. And finally, theme four, the power of specificity.
Which we touched on. It's about grounding grand ideas in concrete detail.
Right. And that applies everywhere, doesn't it? Clear communication, effective storytelling, even just understanding your own experience better. It often comes down to paying attention to the specific details, not getting lost in vague generalities.
The book is also just, well, it's packed with these really memorable lines, isn't it? Lines that almost feel like little Zen koans themselves guiding you.
Absolutely. They stick with you. Like her definition of where good writing comes from. First thoughts have their own energy, their own life, and their own texture. They are coming from the deep place in you where the bones are.
Wow. Where the bones are. That really paints a picture of getting down to the essential structure of your own truth.
It does. And then there's the direct, almost blunt summary of the practice rules. Keep your hand moving. Don't cross out. Don't worry about spelling, punctuation, grammar. Lose control. Don't think. Don't get logical.
That's the engine right there. The instructions for short-circuiting the critic.
That's the core instruction set. And she makes the spiritual link explicit. Writing is the Zen way of practice in the West. It is a way to be present, to be here, to be now.
It elevates the simple act of writing into something more profound, a form of moving meditation.
Mm-hmm. And maybe the ultimate takeaway is summed up in this thought. Treat writing as a sacred practice. If you just do it, if you just sit and write, you'll find out who you are.
The focus shifts entirely inward, doesn't it? It's about the process of discovery, not necessarily the outcome or external validation.
Precisely. The self-acceptance comes through the practice itself.
Okay, this is fascinating for writers, obviously. But how can someone listening who maybe doesn't think of themselves as a writer apply these ideas in their daily life or work?
Oh, these concepts are incredibly versatile. Let's think about application one, professional problem solving.
How did that work?
You could use the timed, uncensored writing practice for brainstorming or getting unstuck on a complex issue. Say your team is facing a difficult strategic decision, maybe about a merger.
Okay.
You could set a timer for, say, 10 minutes and have everyone write continuously on a prompt like, what are we really afraid of with this merger? Just write nonstop, no judgment.
I can see how that might cut through the usual corporate jargon and surface some genuine concerns or insights.
Exactly. It gets past the polite, logical arguments to the underlying fears or opportunities. Another application is mental well-being.
Like journaling.
Yes, but specifically using Goldberg's method. If you're feeling anxious, stressed, or just confused, sit down for 10 or 20 minutes and write continuously about it. Don't try to solve it. Just pour it out without censoring.
Composting the anxiety itself.
You got it. Externalizing the thoughts, letting them flow without judgment can help you see patterns, gain perspective. It turns the swirling mess into data you can observe.
And a third application.
This might be my favorite. Overcoming perfectionism in life. Apply that first draft mentality more broadly.
How so?
When you're learning a new skill, starting a daunting project, even beginning a fitness routine, give yourself explicit permission for the first attempts to be messy, imperfect, even kind of bad.
Separate the starting from the perfecting.
Yes. The goal is just to start, to keep your hand moving, metaphorically speaking. Get the momentum going without the crushing weight of needing it to be perfect right away.
That feels incredibly useful. For me, diving back into these sources, what really struck me was how Goldberg, well, democratizes creativity. Yeah. She completely dismantles that myth of the tortured genius waiting for divine inspiration. It makes you realize the biggest walls are usually internal, psychological, not some lack of innate talent.
It really shifts the focus. Everyone has material. Everyone has first thoughts. It's about learning to access and trust them.
And for you? What's the big takeaway?
For me, it's the undeniable link between mindfulness, spoce awareness, and creativity. They're not separate things. To be a clearer writer or communicator or thinker, you first have to become a better observer.
An observer of the world, and maybe more importantly, an observer of your own mind.
Exactly. The real value isn't just producing pages. It's the transformation that happens within you through the practice itself. It's about becoming more present to your own life.
Finding out who you are, like she said. One messy, uncensored first thought at a time. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.